Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And it is a big weekend, especially a big weekend if you happen to be out in the desert, because you not only have the final rounds of the WM Phoenix Open, but you also have a little football game going on out at Phoenix as well, at State Farm Stadium, the Super Bowl. So a lot of stuff happening out there, and that's what we're going to talk about coming up on today's show. We have Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, joining us, and so he's always got some provocative comments on whatever it might be, so why not? Might be the Super Bowl predictions. I'm sure he's got something to say about that, as well as what happens in Phoenix. Phoenix, very unique situation because it is an elevated event. It's one of those that now has more money involved in it, but also a very unique stop on the PGA Tour in that it is the biggest party going on the PGA Tour. And is it a, in all this world of live tour and competition, everything else, is it a standard for where other tournaments might want to go if you are indeed trying to attract an audience and get people, especially younger people, that might want to come out to your golf tournament? So a lot of things focused on the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Here to talk about that and a lot of other things in our Nashville studios, Frank Bassett. How you doing, Frank?
Yo. It's a they've changed it from elevated now to designated event.
Is so, that right?
Yeah.
How about next week? What's it going to be next week?
Damn, more money in that event.
Just keep adding no names idea. To it.
Hiatal hernia event. I have no idea. But anyway, you know, it's good. It's good. Cold here. It was 70 degrees yesterday. Bogey's even mad that it's cold here.
Yeah. He hears you talking. It's like you never.
I know.
Does he wake up in a new world every day? Like he never hears you talk?
He
and then
is,
you start talking on the air and he starts barking. Like, who's that?
He is Bogey the Wonder Dog, because you wonder when he's going to stop barking.
The same guy for 10 years. How old is Bogey?
But Bogey's 9 years old.
Yeah. 9 years he's been hearing you. And every time you start talking, he's like, ooh, who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Same guy.
Bogey, he's a heavy drinker.
It's the same. Oh, it could be. That could answer it.
That could nail it right there. Hey, it's, you know, I just want to, what is that fight song for Philadelphia? It's Crash, Eagles, Crash?
Oh, I don't know. I just.
You know, you got to look.
Disclosure.
You got to look at Lamar Hunt.
Don't like Philadelphia.
I don't either. But Hunt was on Fox this morning. Brian Kilmeade, of course, was live from Scottsdale.
Okay.
And Hunt with his wife and his daughter sitting there.
He's a Clark very, Hunt, the owner of the
Chiefs. I'm sorry, Clark Hunt. Yeah, Clark. Yeah. Excuse me. Lamar's son.
Yes.
And his wife and his daughter look like sisters. I mean, they're both beautiful. Yeah. And he is a very, very devout man. He is his whole family, very Christian, very loved everything he said. And boy, he gave Andy Reid high praise.
Yeah, well, he should, right? He's gotten him to a few Super Bowls. He's gotten him to 5 AFC championship games in a row. So, yeah, I think Hall of Fame coach Andy Reid is.
And,
you know, Kansas City didn't used to be, and it's been in that family forever. I mean, you're right. Lamar is the father of Clark, and Lamar started the Kansas City Chiefs, who came from Texas, actually, for the history of it. They were the Texans way back when, Dallas Texans, and for a year, I believe it's just 1 year. And then in like 1960 and 61, he moved them to Kansas City, and the Cowboys then moved in. So they did have two teams a little bit. But anyway, so that's the history of it. And of course, going back to the old AFL days when there was that great rivalry with the AFL and NFL.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, the Chiefs have been in the family for a long, long time. But they were always, I say always, certainly up until Andy Reid and the last 5, 6, 7 years, they were a bit of a doormat. I mean, they never had done much of anything.
Well, Hank Stram was.
You know, you have to go back 40 years for that.
Right.
I'm saying, so in between there was a long drought of no Super Bowls, no anything. And you got to give Andy Reid and Clark and I guess front office, everybody else, a lot of credit that they've kind of come from almost nowhere to be what they are now. And of course, it doesn't hurt to get a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
And of course, Clark dropped a bombshell this morning on the show, and he probably shouldn't have. And they said, well, about Mahomes. He said, well, he's not 100%. And Kilmeade said, so is he what, 90, 80, 70, 60? And Hunt's wife went, he's MVP, okay? He's MVP, which was a smart answer to that. Just stopped it, nailed it. I bet you when they got off the air, he went, oh, crap, what did I say? So, but no, his, I like that family.
He did win MVP last night. They had the awards.
Yeah,
he did. League awards, mm-hmm. and he did win. Mahomes did win almost unanimously.
The worst award show MVP I've seen, period.
Oh, was it?
I didn't Kelly Clarkson hosted it. It was horrendous. She had on a Dallas Cowboys skirt that looked like a muumuu. Looked like the Chinese spy balloon. It was so damn big.
Why would she be the host of it?
I don't know. It was. I couldn't stand. Sorry. I mean, no offense, Kelly, but you.
Well, no, but yeah.
She didn't need to be the host of that.
Well, no, that's a little bit. You know, it's like Dak Prescott hosting the Grammys. You know, like, why? Like, come on, keep it within the same range. Get an athlete or get somebody. You know, sports guy.
And of course, you know what Dak won last night.
You know what? What happened?
You know what Dak? Dak got last night was the big one.
Yeah, Dak got the humanitarian kind of award. It's the Walter Payton Award.
Walter Payton Award, yeah,
for the guy who does the most off the field, great stuff. And so many guys in the NFL, which they get not enough credit for. Most of them, all you hear really about is their bad stuff, right? And that kind of happens. And so Dak does a lot of stuff, as a lot of other players do, off the field with charity events and charity things for them, for their community. So, yeah, it was cool to see. Yeah, it was a very nice award for Dak.
I wasn't a fan. There was a commercial with Peyton Manning talking, and everything he said was tongue-in-cheek about himself, which was really funny. So
I'm telling you, he is one of the rare, and I guess he'd throw Barkley in there too, but Barkley's funny, but kind of almost in a different kind of way of being funny. Peyton Manning, I think, is just a funny guy. I mean, it's rare because you get so many of these athletes that think, you know, they're all this because they make jokes in the locker room, but they're not. But Peyton Manning is very media savvy and kind of always has been, and is very self-effacing, right? He's always kind of making fun. Like you said, he's an entertaining guy, and I don't say that about many athletes because most of them fall way short of thinking they're as talented off the field as they think they are. Peyton Manning's, he'd be, I think if somebody wanted somebody in the booth, I guess he doesn't want to do that because he gets to stay home and still does his stuff with Eli, right, during Monday night games and all that, kind of dictates his own little world. But he would be easily, I think, the most entertaining analyst if some network were to get him in a booth with.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just didn't want to do that.
One of my favorite people.
I'd imagine he could write his own ticket.
Yeah, one of my favorite people also was interviewed this morning by Brian Kilmeade, who's live there in Scottsdale, and Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there ever was the ultimate classy, good man on the face of the earth, it is Tony Dungy.
Which makes it seem weird to me that he could be that successful as a coach, because they don't normally go hand in hand, which is not to say successful coaches are evil. But if you put him on a scale of evil being up here and sweet like Tony Dungy down here, most coaches are closer to the evil end.
Well, and Tony played for Pittsburgh. Kinda, I mean, he played on the mean team.
Look at the guy. He's the nicest, sweetest. Yeah, I mean, he's a minister. He's like, he almost is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I just don't, it's great that he was so successful, but man, I just kind of think, I don't know how that works because when you think of the Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick, they don't come to mind with Tony Dungy in the same personality traits, right?
Nope.
And Jimmy Johnson and other successful coaches, and yet they're all successful, right? They've all won a lot.
Are the old Raiders coach, you know?
John Madden?
No, before John.
Oh, Gruden. Oh, before John. Yeah,
before them. Yeah, Gruden. Before them, Yeah. Al Davis.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Remember?
I'm saying. Ooh, there's
like
a lot of
California mob.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just it's a weirdness. And Lombardi, like when you see Lombardi, and again, I'm sure he's a great guy. I mean, I guess I was born, but he was, you know, his heydays were when I was a kid. But Lombardi, everything you see about Lombardi is barking, right? He's always on people. He's always at the refs, at the players, and get out of there and get away. So Tony Dungy almost seems like, and he coached Manning, right? He coached Peyton in Indianapolis and was very successful. But it's almost like when you see him coach, it'd be like, hey, guys, do you think we could run? Yeah, just if you don't mind, run that play. That'd be good. Okay, thank you. He's so nice. I don't know how many followed him.
I think it was pure respect. It's total and pure respect.
Guess so. I guess so.
Because he was a player. Yeah. He was there and played on the great Pittsburgh years.
Yeah, yeah. And, he was a safety. Yeah.
So, but all in all, you know, this is Golf Talk America, so we should talk golf. So I want to save something I'm going to do a teaser here. We're going to talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers in our segment with Steve.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you want to see what his take is on Aaron?
Yeah. Something special.
Aaron's a little weird.
Yeah, a lot weird.
I don't know if that's where you're going with this, but he's a bit weird.
He's something else, too.
Okay.
So, we'll talk about that.
Steve
will have an opinion. I'm absolutely sure. And here's the other thing, too, that we want to bring up with Steve is why in the hell, pardon my French Lord, but why are we running the Super Bowl and a designated event, elevated event, whatever you want to call it, on Sunday, butting up against each other? So you're either going to watch the WM or you're going to watch all the pregame for the Super Bowl, which is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be watching the WM. I'm just not.
I mean, they've done this before. I was actually in Phoenix for a Super Bowl when the Phoenix Open was on, and it was when the Cowboys were playing Pittsburgh. They do the best they can, and, of course, weather's, if you saw yesterday, the first round of the Phoenix Open, they had a frost delay, and that's so typical. I mean, people think of, this time of year, it's the desert is a very cold place. The sun goes down in Phoenix, Tucson, this time of year, February, it's cold. It's cold out there. So, they had a frost delay, and they'll do everything they can to get that done, the final round done, in plenty of time for the Super Bowl, which I think the kickoff is 6-ish or something like that.
Yeah, the coverage starts at 5:30 Central, and the coverage for the WM is supposed to end at 5:00 Central.
Yeah, yeah. So you will be challenged to watch pregame, but then again, how much pregame do you need to see?
You and I both have multiple TVs there, so we'll just have them all going. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of pregame, but it is. But it's also a very cool thing to have two of those things going on.
It's
like the epicenter of sports for at least 5 days is Phoenix. So it is pretty cool that they're doing that. By the way, first round yesterday, as we said, there was a frost delay. But once they got out there, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin had a pretty good day out of the desert. Shot a couple of 66s, and the course looked nice and beautiful.
Yeah, that's a great course.
And they've got the 16th hole there, which we'll talk to Steve about as well. Now, let me ask you this, and Frank, you were at the final event in Miami for the LIV Tour, final of this first season.
All week.
And you saw the party scene and everything that people have talked about. Some like that, some don't, right? It's gone both ways. And Phoenix is certainly, if not a prototype for that, but certainly a symbolic of that same kind of feel, which is, let's just have a great time and let's go kind of wild. And they do that, and it's almost like the PGA Tour says, well, okay, Phoenix, you can do that. Don't know if we want everybody else to be doing that same thing. When you were in Miami and you saw that music's blaring and everything's going on, relating that to the Phoenix Open, is that something that can be transferred? Do you think that's – and we're both older guys, so maybe we're not their audience. Is that something you think not only the LIV Tour but also the PGA Tour and other events need to emulate somewhat?
Well, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of the patrons there, and to a man or woman – and any age group, young, I was there with Blair Wheeler, our friend with does some PXG work along with us. From 22 years old all the way up to 65, 70, everybody loved it. They thought it was fantastic. And the thing of it is, they have the music blaring and dum dum dum. Okay, now on the tee, Dustin Johnson. Quiet. Hits the ball. And it all starts again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's... And then the concert afterwards and all that. The PGA Tour has been doing some of this. The Players Championship specifically brought in Jake Owen a few years ago to do a concert on after the Thursday night, I think, first round or second. No, Friday night. I'm sorry, Friday night. And they do that at multiple tournaments where they have music after the end of play.
Yeah.
So, people say, well, Liv's just it's not crazy. It's really good golf. I was really impressed with how they put the tournament together. How the spectators, and I don't know where the media gets off talking about nobody goes to the tournaments. Nobody watches it. It was packed. They sold every ticket they had to this thing at Doral. It was fabulous. So, I think Liv's here to stay. I've said that before. I believe it. I believe it's the AFL-NFL model sitting out there, and we just need to get cooler heads in a boardroom together. To sit down and say, okay, we can make this work, and it will be good for the game. Because exactly. There's so many players, Tim, and you know this, so many players that are as good as anybody on the PGA Tour that never have the chance to get there because there are not enough spots.
Well, you've noticed also that one of the things that's happened more recently when it comes to those two, PGA and the LIV Tour, is that the PGA Tour has now said they're dipping into the non-member ranks and the collegiate ranks because LIV Tour is attracting some collegiate players, some top college players that are looking to turn pro and could possibly be the next Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, the next future, okay? And the PGA Tour has preemptively said, if you play, no matter if you're a PGA Tour member or not, you play LIV Tour, you will not play PGA Tour. And that's getting down and dirty now, because if you're a young college player and you're going, okay, you're going to give me, and I've had a guy who has a friend who's a college player, says that they're talking about signing bonuses for those guys too in the area of a few million dollars. So if the LIV Tour comes along and says, yeah, we're not going to give you $100 million, Mr. Unknown College Guy, but we think you're an All-American, you're all this future ahead of you, we'll give you $5 million versus let's go to the PGA Tour and see if I can maybe make it, go to Korn Ferry, see if I can struggle and get through there, and get, which is a very tough road, as we all know. Some great, great golfers on the Korn Ferry just can't make it on the PGA Tour. It's almost like, okay, so we have another vehicle to do it, but the PGA Tour is saying, if you do it, don't think you're going to come.
There are going to be so many suits. There's going to be, I mean, so many lawyers are going to get rich off of all this because the PGA Tour is saying, well, if you go out with her, you can never go out with me.
Yeah.
Well, that's bull. They can say that and they can do that and they can try to scare everybody. I love the PGA Tour. We have been tied to the PGA Tour forever, but for heaven's sakes, I mean, if I'm a kid coming out of college, I'm, you know, an All-American. And I can get $2 or $3 million, like you said, or $1 million even, or nothing but some sponsors maybe. And then I don't make any cuts. Well, LIV, they're going to, you know, no cuts.
Yeah.
PGA Tour, they're cuts. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to end. We could sit and talk about this for hours and hours and hours and still not come to some consensus about why the tour should, I don't say give in, but why they should sit down.
Well,
and mutually agree to disagree on certain things, but let's don't block people out to pursue their livelihood.
Well, forever and ever, and you go back a long, long way, that
Seve
Seve Ballesteros and other European players got to play European events while also PGA Tour events, and somehow the world didn't stop spinning.
No.
Somehow that worked. There were great Asian players. I kind of think of it. I'm trying to think of it. Aoki, was that his name? That had the weird putting kind of.
Oh, he had the toe standing straight up.
Toe was almost like straight up like that.
He was a fabulous player.
He played Asian Tour, but certainly would come
came over here, won the Bell South Classic right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And somehow the world didn't. So I'm like, why is it now so unadaptable that you could play on a different tour in different events and also play PGA Tour? I don't get where the exclusivities come in. That has never been there before. And if you go to Sergio and Westwood and Poulter, guys always played European Tour. Yeah. Rory played European Tour events. Why was that compatible? And this is so incompatible. I don't get it. And it might be a clash of personalities. And if Greg Norman just came off as the biggest pain in the ass to the PGA Tour, and by God, we're not going to let that. If it was one guy, okay, that's why I'm saying there should be a merger, because this is not a brand new concept. And by the way, there's a lot of money involved too. And we all know whatever sport you're talking about, money's going to make things happen. And if there's that much money that can be had for all these different players and all the people involved in golf, commissioners, everybody else, then let's figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah.
I don't see how they don't come to that conclusion.
I love the tour. I respect Jay and the powers that be in Camp Pontevedra very much. I mean, but I don't have to agree with everything everybody does. And they have their reasons to do it. And they have a brand to protect. And they have sponsors to protect. So I don't know. I mean, we could drill down to the nuts and bolts of this thing. But we would lose listeners by the second.
Well, so, no, I mean, people debate it. That's kind of part of what it is. You know? I mean, it's good. Frank, it's going on. Because it's not. Don't wimp out of my mind. Now it's not. But because the LIV Tour hasn't started yet again. Once it does, it'll be back on the front page.
We won't have 2 weeks.
What did DJ? What's going on? Tucson, what are they doing? So, You know, the Live Tour doesn't have as many events, so it's not a week-by-week thing. Therefore, I think there's a bit of an ebb and flow for the conversation.
Yeah.
But once they go again, you know, people are going to say, ooh, what's going on? You know,
well, our good friend, I won't mention his name, Danny Medina, called me and said, are you coming out here for the Live event and the Coligard Classic also? So they're
on the Champions Tour.
Yeah, on the PGA Tour Champions, yeah. So, I'm going to go out there, I think. So,
cool.
I don't know.
By the way, the WM Phoenix Open, they've kind of rebranded. I guess they did that a year or two ago. It used to be Waste Management, but I guess that name has now been morphed into WM. So you just got to figure out what it stands
that
for.
That and Coligard, I don't know. How does that tie together?
Nobody wanted to say garbage, you know, or whatever.
Or
don't
poop.
Say waste.
Or
it's
poop.
WM. Yeah, it's WM. So but it's a cool event and I enjoyed watching yesterday first round, and we'll see be able to pick it back up again and finish, as we said, right before the Super
Windy.
Bowl. So it's a cool time to be out there. Yeah, the wind was blowing. It's funny when you watch again, knowing that this area of the country, the Southwest, where it gets a little bit different kind of weather, in Phoenix. You saw at the beginning, so many people were in stocking caps and literally some fans were in like big parkas in winter kind of. And by midday and while they're playing, there are a lot of guys in shorts and people with light windbreakers on. So it's a very flexible climate that these guys have to play in and be ready. And if you get that early tee time, meaning like right now, they're warming up. It's, you know, right now in Scottsdale, probably low 40s and it's cold. And if the guys start later in the afternoon, like Hadwin did yesterday, you know, and some of these other guys, you warm up and you're nice and toasty the whole day.
Well, I'm playing today. It's 44 here in Nashville right now, 43, 44. I'm going to warm up to like 52, 53.
Yeah.
And I usually don't play in that. I mean, my rule is 50 or above. I won't tee off until it's 50 or above.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play in that. It's cold. The balls react differently. Everything. I mean, the clubs feel different.
It's hard to warm up, isn't it? I mean, you just feel like you're blowing on your hands the whole time, right? Or you're kind of just trying to... Yeah. Stay warm, and again,
How many players have hot hands in their bag where the balls are stored?
Yeah. I would think they would.
It's not legal, but yeah, I'm sure it happens.
Well, who's going to check that?
I know for a fact it happens to some players. I've seen it, so I won't name anybody. I really won't.
And your point to that, for people that aren't as into equipment, is that warm golf balls are...
More easily compressed. Yeah, more easily compressed.
So,
i.e., go longer, spin, go further.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Hey, PXG has new golf balls out. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes, they do. And
when did they start doing that?
That just happened. They just announced it this past week. And
I had no idea.
We want to get the boys on again to talk about that.
Sure. Like all different levels of ball? One ball? Do you know?
One ball. And it's. I don't want to say too much about it because I haven't seen the entire presentation on it.
Oh, okay.
But they're shipping me some. I had to pay for them.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to pay for them, PXG. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. What is that all about? But my PXG fitter called me and said, hey, I ordered your 36. Give me your credit card number. I went, what? What?
Yeah, thanks for ordering them.
Yeah.
You should have said no.
Thanks.
I said, just send them anyway.
Yeah.
Once I get him, I'll give him my card.
I said, what ball are you playing? I won't say what ball he's playing, but he's playing the same ball I play right now, which has a dash on it.
Yeah.
You know which one it is, because Art shipped me a whole gross of them.
I know.
But I love those balls.
I think you're losing your mind. I think you're losing your mind.
Have you hit them?
Did you think that Slash means anything? No, I haven't hit one.
Slash is a fabulous guitarist.
I don't see how it makes it that much different.
Okay, well, whatever.
It's such a placebo effect to me. You know,
really. A what effect?
I don't think if you hit an X or a non-X, most people would know. I do like my medical words. I was in pre-med for about a week.
I signed up for organic chemistry in college.
Yeah.
Never went to class. Said, oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah, I failed and I moved on.
Yeah, exactly. So what? So no, the PXG balls, though, are supposed to be really, really good.
Okay, and, we'll talk about that.
And
yeah,
they were in development long before... the clubs. As a matter of fact, they've been working on these for a long time.
Well, I guess so.
Very secretly.
The clubs have been out for what? A dozen years now?
Yeah.
Something?
Well, when
the balls were being worked on for a dozen years and haven't come out yet, huh? Wow. They must have down to a science if they got.
Yeah, well, they have the clubs down to a science. There's no doubt about that. I mean,
yeah,
I know some people poo poo them, but let me tell you, they're.
Keep everybody happy.
They're in my bag and they work really well. Although the other day they didn't work so well.
It's the ball. They were. I mean, it's the club.
It must have been the ball. Clubs. Must have been the club. I think it was my glove. I think I had a blowout.
Could not have been you.
Couldn't have been me coming over the top on everything. And not
finishing. You want to take a break and we'll get Steve Johnson come in?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a break.
Let's see what he has to say about all these fun topics that we've been dabbling around, and Steve will definitely dive full force, feet first into any of these subjects we're going into. So stick around. We got Steve Johnson with Hank Heaney Golf joining us here in just a little bit, and Frank Bassett and I will return. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll be back right after this.
Looking to kickstart a keto diet in the new year? Green Chef makes eating well, easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. And that includes breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus meal bundles at the Green Market. You can choose from USDA-certified organic ground beef, USDA-certified organic chicken, and wild-caught, my favorite, sockeye salmon. Need meals in a hurry? Try Green Chef's 10-minute lunches. No cooking required. Perfect for when you're on the go or pressed for time at the office or wherever you may be pressed for time. My favorite, I said earlier, is the salmon. It's delicious, easy to prepare, and saves me so much time. Ready to start eating well and saving time? Go to greenchef.com/golfer60 and use the code GOLFER60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. No, I'm not kidding, folks. It's 60% off plus free shipping when you go to greenchef.com/golfer60 and use the code GOLFER60. That's GOLFER60. Write it down, greenchef.com/golfer60, and use code GOLFER60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett. Hey. As again, we're getting ready for round two of the WM Phoenix Open out in the desert. And looking forward to that. Looks like the weather should be very, very nice for the rest of this week. A little windy maybe out there and maybe a little chilly certainly in the morning, but should be okay to get started on that. So we'll keep an eye on that and talk a little bit more about that and some other things that might come up. We mentioned the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, happens to be out there as well, coming up on Sunday. So the Chiefs against the Eagles. And joining us now is a guy who cares about all sports, whether it's Super Bowl or Phoenix Open or anything else that's happening. Stevie Ray J is guaranteed to give us his hot opinions. And Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, joins us now. Stevie, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Good, guys. What a good week. What a good week for golf, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Seems unbelievable. Like have you ever been to the Phoenix Open, Tim?
I have been. I was telling Frank or the listeners earlier that way back when I was at Super Bowl when the Phoenix Open, just like this year, was being played the same weekend as the Cowboys playing the Steelers. So, God, we're going back to, what, 96? I was there for that duel. And so, yes, we did go to a round or two of the Phoenix Open while we were out there covering the Cowboys and then go to the Super Bowl. So, it's a very busy weekend, but it's it's a pretty cool thing to have that kind of doubleheader, if you will, in one city for, you know, two pretty cool events. We're talking, Steve, about the attitude and the atmosphere, if you will, at the Phoenix Open. What's your take on that? Are you a proponent? And I'm saying maybe that's a precursor to what other, and maybe because of live tour and stuff and the music playing and different attitudes about it, a younger kind of rowdier crowd, if you will. It seems to me that if I remember right, you weren't a big fan of that. Am I wrong on the rowdiness, if you will, at 16?
Well, it's wow. You've got to experience it to really appreciate it because it is unbelievable. I like the whole deal. You know, you've got the in April, you've got the no running on the grass, don't drop your trash on the ground, no smoking, no cameras. Yes.
I don't know what you're referring
to. At Augusta. But. I mean, right now in February, you've got not only golf, not only good weather, but man, you've got a lot of auxiliary entertainment out there as well. I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about last Saturday, they kicked off the tournament, pre-tournament, Saturday before the tournament. Maroon 5 did a concert in the Coliseum. Wouldn't that be cool to see?
Yeah.
And then you've got some every day. You've got parties. You've got – it's unbelievable. All
that's live golf. You just described live golf. That's exactly what I experienced in Miami when I went down for the final event of the year. And they had big-name bands every night on the course. And it was free with your ticket of admission. The patrons fans could go, and it was fabulous.
They probably didn't have 500,000 people like they do it in Phoenix, but
no. But it had a lot of people.
It's a spectacle, no doubt about it. And I know a lot of the players look forward to it because they like it's almost like football because you get the fans yelling and all that. And then some players that don't like it steer away from it. They don't go that week.
Yeah.
Is Jordan Spieth there this week?
He is.
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Can't make a putt.
Really? Yeah. They,
Another Jordan kind of round, four birdies, four bogeys. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. I want to talk to Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas, by the way, was the tour's ambassador, media ambassador to the Super Bowl. Did you all catch that?
Really?
Where he was on Radio Row and wandering around in the media center at the Super Bowl earlier in the week. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Hey, got to bring this up since we're talking about the WM. There was Pro-Am, of course, in the WM. I mean, Pebble Beach. I'm sorry. Let me back up. Let me go to Pebble Beach first. There was a pro-am at Pebble Beach. There was a player that won it. There was a player that came in second. The quarterback, Josh Allen, came in second. The quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, won it.
Yes.
Keith Mitchell walks off the course because Keith Mitchell was playing with, of course,
Josh Allen.
He said, interesting. His handicap's 3 at his home club, but he carded a 10 handicap here. What's the deal?
His actual quote was, his handicap is crap.
He said his handicap is crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers' handicap.
And it's all over the internet now. And Rodgers did have a 10 handicap. Now, it was explained that, we give them added strokes on their handicap based on the fact that they're playing in front of a crowd that they don't usually do.
Difficult course. And
difficult golf course.
Them, yeah.
No, whoa. The handicap in the book, if you're playing a golf course that's more difficult, then, yeah, you'll get a couple of more strokes, not 7 strokes more.
So was Josh Allen's handicap adjusted?
It was, but not like that. But not like that.
Yeah, I think the implication was, because Keith Mitchell was saying, he kind of jokingly but not jokingly said, I consider us the winners because Aaron Rodgers' handicap's crap. And so we won because we were more legit. They weren't so legit. So I don't know what that's going to create. But so maybe you know better than we would, Steve, have been in tournaments or been at tournaments and stuff like that. There is an adjustment, but that seems a little bit drastic, doesn't it? Aaron Rodgers would go from a 3 at home in Wisconsin at Green Bay Country Club to a 7 at Pebble Beach. I mean, to a 10, 7-shot difference. That's kind of drastic, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that almost seems embarrassing. It's hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers would compete with a 7-shot cushion like that. I mean, that would
maybe
be hard.
Maybe 2 or 3, or maybe 2 aside, 4, but not 7.
Yeah.
And they lost by 1 stroke, by the way, Josh Allen and Keith Mitchell.
That's 7 help. That's 7 shots for 4 days. So I guess 3 days this time because of the weather.
Yeah. The delay.
That's 21 shots right there, guys.
Yeah. That's a little
drastic. Shame on Aaron Rodgers.
So, that was a little controversy there. My guess is that might get changed. They were probably hoping that Keith Mitchell or anybody, because you got to think, has that gone back forever? Has Bill Murray always played? Because he's a pretty good shot maker. I mean, does he normally have like a 7-8 and he plays as a 15? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever checked that before, but somebody's going to check it now. So, it was.
Cashmere was Keith. Cashmere Keith Mitchell is what they call him. So, I'm serious. He always wore cashmere sweaters in school.
Yeah, it was a good tournament. It was a lot of fun. So, the Phoenix, Stevie, have you played that course before, TPC?
I have. I've played it a few times. Yeah, it's a totally different look than they've changed it since I played it. They changed a few holes, but it's a neat layout. It's fun. The weather's always pretty good. I guess they had some wind the first day that made it a little challenging. But I mean, it's a fun course. It's a typical TPC type course. The 17th hole, 16, 17 are really neat. I mean, it's just fun to play, but totally different complexion when you've got all those fans out there. The place looks totally different. It's like putting a bunch of trees around the holes, Tim. You know, it frames it in. Yeah. The gallery frames the holes in. When you're out there playing, you just see these mounds out there. Now, there are a lot of pros that make Phoenix their home now, especially their winter home. They go practice there. I know Tony Finau's living there, and I mean, there's a bunch of guys that live there. So it's kind of their home track. But I like
it. As the saying goes, they found more money too, Steve, the PGA Tour did.
Oh, did they really?
What are we saying now, Frank? What's it called?
What pillowcase was in what? Well, they're not called elevated events. They're called designated events. So they changed that also.
This is one of the designated. It's now got a $20 million purse.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Up from what, Frank? 8 or 10?
The winner makes what?
No, I said it went up from like 8 or 10. I think the total purse was 8 or 10 last year.
Yeah.
And now because the tour found that money in the pillowcase, as Frank says, suddenly they got $20 million for this and some other tournaments. Wow. So it's $20 million. I guess first place has got to be about $2.5
million. Wow.
Yeah.
It's usually 18%. Is typically
18% of the purse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do. Well, you got the numbers there? I guess 10%.
10% would be
right?
2 million.
So it's a little bit more than that. I said 2.8, 2.6, and we're in there.
No,
wow, that's
18%.
Awesome.
18%. So, I mean, it's
so 3.5 million. Nice.
You think it's 3.5?
Well, if it's 18% of 20 million.
They could change the percentage too, though, maybe.
That would
maybe
be, actually,
down.
It would be 18% of 20 million. Well, 4 million would be 20%. 18% would be 3.6.
That's hard to believe.
That's a big number.
I'm doing a little research right now.
But maybe they're not doing 18%. We could also maybe be wrong on that.
Even 15% would be 3 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just saying, whatever their percentage is, maybe they're still. Everybody gets some money. brings us to Steve. The PGA Tour has come out now, and in addition to everything else that they're saying about the LIV Tour, they're also saying, and you've worked with a lot of college athletes and guys that are early in their careers, they're now saying, even if you're not a PGA Tour member and you play a LIV Tour event, you're banished, in the words of Shakespeare, you're banished from the PGA Tour. If you even come out of college, which a lot of these college guys, and I was talking earlier before you came on, a friend of a friend knows someone who's a top college golfer who's being offered a few million dollars by a LIV Tour, never played professionally, to go LIV Tour right out of college. And that's why the PGA Tour is trying to be proactive, saying, well, if you do that, you're never going to play with us.
So they're being bullies. What happened to the independent contractor status? They haven't signed
anything.
Really
sure. I'm not really, don't really know what the...
Well, these rules are very fluid.
Wow.
That's a good term.
Well, they are. They're very fluid. They said that. They said, well, you know, it's subject to change. Some of the rules are subject to change, which meant they could ban anybody they wanted to. I'm sorry, Jesus, you know, you can't play.
So, Frank, I mean, not Frank, but Steve, I'm curious what you would think. And again, we're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. Steve, if you had a college player, or even like your son, let's say, someone that you're very close with, but it was making a decision coming out of college, top player, could certainly play professional golf, that's their dream. Would you recommend? Would you go one way or the other? If the status now is you go live, you're never going to play right now, PGA Tour, or go through the whole Korn Ferry, hope you make it to the PGA and all that, or take the early money and say, okay, you want to play professionally, like you would in the NBA or NFL, you get your money, you come out, you're a rookie, and you, on the PGA Tour or Korn Ferry, you kind of, it's a hard road that you got to try to find your way to even make a living at it versus start with LIV Tour. What would you
advise?
Yeah,
that's a big decision. You know, it really depends on like PGA Tour has that university ranking plan where they get the top five guys get status and all that. I mean, that's for the top five guys. That's awesome. But what about all the guys that, you know, like the Paul Azingers that came out of college, the Keegan Bradleys, the guys that you really develop their games after they turn pro. I think the LIV Tour is not prominent enough to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to do that instead, and I'm going to give up all my rights to play in the PGA Tour tournaments.
But how long?
I think the PGA still has them by the balls.
Gonads, yeah. But how long can that go on? Because there will be test trials. There are going to be a lot of attorneys who make a lot of money because of this.
challenging all this.
They're going to challenge every bit of it. Antitrust is going to run rampant. And you know how long antitrust cases take. They take forever.
Yeah. I mean, but, and does anything really even happen? We were talking earlier about, you know, radio shows. But, I mean, there are a lot of discussion. But even like Phil Mickelson's case, he dropped out of the case. I mean, they go for a little period of time and they kind of lose the, they fizzle out, you know? So all these lawsuits and all that. I mean, if I'm a player coming out of college, I'm saying, you know what, I'm going to try the PGA Tour, because if the LIV is going to give me money coming out of college, then I'm one of the top college players anyway. And I'm thinking, you know what, I could probably make some money on the PGA Tour. The sponsorship
status,
endorsements, all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's just the PGA Tour has dug themselves in so deeply on fighting this thing. I mean, just the threats of, hey, you're never going to play here, that's significant right now. I don't know if it'll be significant in 5 years.
Aren't there cautionary tales? And I bring up Matthew Wolf as an example, that you can be a top college player and you can even kind of start with a little bit of a bang and pretty quickly fall away. And if you don't have any money in the bank per se, and that can happen to a lot of guys. And Matthew Wolf was a phenom, but everybody was fascinated. A lot of it was his weird swing, but he was a very good player and suddenly lost his game. And he was like 24 years old. Now that doesn't mean he's going to lose it forever, but it does mean if you fall back, you're back to Korn Ferry. You're back in that whole mix. And that's all I'm saying is if you've got some money in the bank and Liv says, hey, instead of going to your uncle and to Frank and to Steve and asking for 50 grand here and 50 grand and somebody to help me out with all this, you've got $2 million in the bank already or whatever it might be. At some point, isn't it also about making a living and getting a future and maybe getting married, having family? It's a hard thing to commit to that when you're missing cuts.
Well,
you're not
that's
making any money.
That's sexy. The PGA Tour is very sexy, and the bennies that go along with that are huge if you can just make your way, as we all know. So that's a tough decision for a young person. Yes. Hopefully they have some great advice. Steve just made some real sense in what he said about what are the trade-offs here, basically.
Yeah. And we don't know where.
And these young guys need that kind of counsel, like Steve. People like
that. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, you do. You've led a lot of players.
I've got a better one for you.
What's that?
A guy that was coming out of college, pretty good player, part of the spring break crew, Smiley Kaufman. Actually won a tour event.
Yep.
He lost his game so bad he couldn't play anywhere. Now he's
friends with Jordan and with with all those guys. You used to remember, you saw 4 or 5 years ago when everything was flying high? They were all on boats together in the Mediterranean. Remember? Yep. It was Smiley and Jordan and Justin Thomas. And now Smiley's broadcasting.
Right. Yep. Right. Because he totally lost it. Now I don't think the LIV wasn't an option for him, but would he even have been attracted?
Uh-oh. Did we lose Steve?
I don't know.
Did you lose
Steve?
We lost
you. You're back.
Now you're back.
Sorry. Quit moving around, Steve. Stand in one place.
Well, this whole deal is, I think it's the rich get richer, even with the LIV. I mean, the LIV is going to be after the top players.
Sure they are.
The PGA Tour is going to threaten the top players. Hey, you know what? If you want to be you got a chance to be a really significant player here on the PGA Tour, but if you go try that LIV stuff, you're out of here. They could give a damn about the marginal player right now, the guy, the up-and-comer. The LIV's not going to pay those guys any money, to speak of, not career-ending type retirement money guys that are just coming out of college. They're not going to do it.
Did you hear what Jordan Spieth had to say about this very thing? He said, you know, I really miss Dustin Johnson on this tour. I really do. I think he's one of the top players in the world, and I really miss him here.
Well,
I think that's true. Cam Smith, great player. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny? He didn't say that about Brooks Koepka.
Nobody misses Brooks.
But he misses Chase.
But your point is well taken. I want to play against the best. And a couple of handfuls, 20 of the best aren't playing here. And I agree. I think that's what not only other golfers, your competitors, but that's what fans, and let's be honest, they pay all the bills for every sport, right? If we're not watching TV and buying the products and sponsorships and everything, that's what feeds the beast of sports in general anyway.
Yeah.
All the signage you see everywhere. So make the fans want to see. I want to see the Phoenix Open. I want to see DeChambeau trying to crank 400-yard drives, right? I mean, yeah. And if you translate this to other sports, which is, goes back to Phil's original argument about who's greedy and who's not, if a top college basketball player comes out and says, you know what, I want to start my career and I'm going to play in a league in Israel, in Italy, in European, which they have. They're not certainly NBA, but they have different in Asia. They have different professional sports. There's no way the NBA is going to say, how dare you? If you want to start your career and you're going to go play for a team in China, don't ever think you're going to come back to the NBA. Nobody says that.
No,
they wouldn't say it. They'd be like, if that's what you want to do and you think that's your best to make an early living or whatever you want, go do it. And then when you're ready, come back to the, because we still would embrace the best players. And if you want to make it on an NBA team, do that. Why does the PGA take this stance that how dare you go play over here and here and here? If you do that, you'll never play for us. I think that attitude is so going to backfire on the PGA Tour because it's just a messed up attitude, not only legally and as far as if you have the right to even say that, but just from a PR standpoint, what fans are going.
It's like, a Hollywood studio attitude. You'll never work in this town.
Yeah. You work for me or you don't work at all. You're like, that's not right. Yeah. I mean,
no, it's indentured servitude.
Let them go do what they want to do because it's not
right.
It's not affecting you. If you go play live, then PGA Tour should say, well, we're strong enough to survive with whatever. Here's what we have. And if you want to do that, okay. And if you want to come over here, that's why I think the
if you want to come back, you have to qualify. You have to qualify to come back.
Sure.
And put a qualification list together, whatever. I don't know.
It's just the PGA Tour has always...
Did Liv put any restrictions on their guys that they could only play in in X amount of events?
Not that I know of.
I do think they have to play a certain number of events for sure. I don't think they were allowed. Well, certainly you weren't allowed to take a big check and then play two events. So I certainly think there is a minimum or some kind of without injuries and stuff like that you have to play live events. Mm-hmm. But I don't think in any way they've ever said. Matter of fact, I think Norman has gone on record as saying we're happy for those guys to be able to play. Now, of course, PGA Tour is not letting them, but if they want to go play in Memphis, if they want to go play at Colonial, we're okay with that if it's in their schedule to play that.
Well, what's the deal with an invitational? Okay, I'm an invitational tournament, and I want Dustin Johnson to play in my tournament, and I'm a PGA Tour stop.
Yeah.
Who wins? Does AT&T win or the PGA Tour?
I'm PGA Tour. It's telling AT&T.
So AT&T says, okay, we're going to take our $50 million we give you a year, and we're going to go play in somebody else's cat box. And what's the tour going to do? The tour's going to say, wait a minute, wait, let us rethink that.
And it would be interesting if big sponsors, like AT&T being one, if big sponsors, Schwab or whoever, were to put a stop to that and say, hey, wait a minute, here's what we think, and we are big money players in this game. It would be interesting to see. But you know Monahan was on the phone with whoever he needed to be, including all those people with those sponsorships, saying, here's what we're going to do, and we got to make sure you're all on board with us because we got to circle the wagons, and that's exactly what he's done. I don't know when there'll be a little crack in the dam that makes somebody go, you know what? My event is better if I have some of these other guys playing in it, and they're available because there's not a live event this week, and you're holding my tournament kind of for hostage here without me getting the best players. Somebody might say that, right? Some sponsor. Yeah,
who knows?
Might say that's not the way we want to do this. So it's a debate that'll keep going on until it's not. And at some point, I think cooler heads will probably prevail.
And again, understanding that all of this we're talking about here are our opinions. This is opinion. Just to clarify.
Well, except for Steve. So, Steve is very high in the PGA of America.
Nobody wants to get sued.
Steve has a lot of influence on that.
This is all in our opinion. But
the thing is, I mean, I think it all goes back to one player. And it goes back to Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And even though he's not playing, once Tiger Woods stopped playing consistently, I mean, 2019 was really kind of his last hurrah. The PGA Tour is down. It hurt losing those 20 players, 15 players that are prominent players on the PGA Tour. I mean, heck, I was looking at the leaderboard last week. And I'm telling you what, man, there's a lot of names you don't even recognize. That's the thing think would be tough with the Live Tour. There's so many guys that we don't know as American golf fans that are overseas players that are great players, but we don't know them. We don't have any type of affinity for the players that we don't know. I think the PGA Tour is getting that way right now. You look at these names, and like Keith Mitchell, what the heck? Like, he's some big, prominent player. I mean, he's a nice player that wears, yeah, that wears cashmere.
Cashmere Keith.
I mean, to be honest,
well,
I mean,
here's
if you go to a tournament, are you, you're not going out there to say, hey, I just can't wait to see Keith Mitchell this week.
Here's the way to solve right. that. Here's the way to solve that. Well, there was a commissioner on the LPGA that solved the issue of all of these, and you know this, Steve, as well as anybody. Who are these players from Korea or from Asia, let's say, whatever? Well, let's say they put their Twitter handles on the caddy's bib. They started using social media to promote them so that people could identify with them. They started talking more about their family, their pets. I mean,
but the LPGA is a world tour, though. I mean,
a
number of their events that are overseas. Now, about 10 years ago, Frank, and you know this as well as I do, the LPGA commissioner at the time came out and said, hey, we're going to fine all these foreign players if they don't speak English. We're going to fine them if they wear clothing that doesn't suit our taste. And now they've gone 180 degrees, and the LPGA is probably the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
In terms of
because of Michael Wan. Really?
Well, I don't know about that.
I like Michael.
They've embraced the foreign player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But they've done a lot of stuff to promote, and I think that's probably what LIV is going to work toward. This was a work in progress this past year, and I spoke with several folks that'll go unnamed within the LIV organization when I was down there, had some meetings. And they all said, we're throwing stuff at the wall to see if it sticks. And we're going to make changes on the go, on the fly, to have the best product we can. And that makes a lot of sense to me.
I will say this too, Steve, about the Keith Mitchell thing, which is, and I totally agree, like, you know, where's he rank and all this stuff. All it takes, and that is one of the attractions of golf in general, whatever tour you're talking about, which is a guy can come from kind of nowhere, and they're not all Tiger Woods who are well known worldwide when they're 14 years old. But what makes a difference is Keith Mitchell were to win at Pebble Beach, were to turn around and get another, and then win, and then win, and suddenly now he's got five or six wins, and he's Tony Finau, who at some point was nobody that nobody knew and nobody had any idea with outside of inside golf people. What happened? He wins. He's a Ryder Cup. So that's what's cool about it. I get what you're saying now. But that's okay, because I like the fact that golf can create guys who just get hot and just decide, you know what, I think I'm pretty damn good now, and they start winning tournaments. And Finau is just one example. You could find a bunch of those guys who didn't come out as college All-Americans and Mr. Everything, but earn their way to do that. And that's what I still love about golf for whatever tour.
But 20 years, I love Tony Finau. He's a great person.
Oh, yeah.
He's genuine. He gives a great interview. But 20 years from now, Tim, you're not going to know. Tony Finau is just going to be a name of a guy in the past that was a journeyman player, never won a major.
But how do you know he won't?
There's a lot of guys in 20 years he might have three majors. There's a lot of guys like Tony Finau that have never won majors. I mean, you could spend great golfers, guys that have won many tournaments, more than Tony Finau, that have never won a major. I mean, I'm going way back here only because I know him, but Bruce Crampton was a phenomenal player back in the day.
Yeah.
He came in second place 7 times in majors to Jack Nicklaus.
Well,
but I mean, this guy never won a major.
But why could Tony Finau not be Paul Azinger? Not that he's recognized as the greatest of all time, but Paul Azinger is certainly a known guy. He's not just a guy who played 20 years ago and everybody's forgotten about him. And Azinger doesn't have a wall full of major trophies.
No, he has one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is Tony Finau, if I would put money that Tony Finau will win a major or maybe 2 majors. So I disagree with your analogy that in 20 years he's a nobody. But in majors,
I mean, ball striking is important. But the most important thing in majors is putting. And Tony Finau is not a good putter. He could streaky make some, but the tournaments.
Has Rory not been criticized as being a very average putter for most of his career?
He's streaky, though. And he's streaky.
And he's got 4 of those big trophies.
Ball striking. Yeah. Jeez.
Tony Finau is as good a Tony Finau is a very good ball striker. Putting has been his weakness, and he's worked on it. But and I'm not trying to stand up for Tony Finau. I don't get anything out of it. He's not my brother-in-law. I'm just saying the guy turned himself into a Ryder Cup. And by the way, at Ryder Cup and President's Cup, he played pretty damn well.
He's worked like, up,
I
Steve.
I belong. I'm here. Not just I'm a journeyman guy who's, you know, hoping to hang on by my fingernails. Easy. And he is a good guy.
Easy, big boy.
He's friends with Scott Pinkney. I love Scott Pinkney. That's Steve's old guy.
Steve's worked up, isn't he?
So, Scott Pinkney's a good dude. How many players you think, or how many fans you think are going out to a tournament saying, man, I can't wait to see Tony Finau play?
Right now, a lot.
I didn't hear you said. Not going out to see what?
To see Tony Finau. About as many as
I say a lot of them. I say a lot of them. Definitely a lot of them. Well, more than Keith Mitchell. Not as many as Jordan.
Keith Mitchell.
There's one player that you can tell it by the way that it's covered on television. There's one player that makes a difference right now, and you know who
Jordan,
that is.
Tim. Jordan Spieth.
That's Jordan Spieth.
That's it.
The only guy that makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I agree. He's a golden child for sure.
When you compare the PGA Tour that had a dominant player in Tiger Woods, where all the popularity went up, golf participation went up, the players made more money because the purses went up. He was a dominant player for many years. Plus, it was a perfect storm. The guy was a minority. He came from public golf, blah, 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 blah. I mean, this was golf's golden time.
Yeah.
And now they replace it with a guy that I think is a super guy, great for the game. He just doesn't have – he's not going to be a dominant player. He's not going to be a dominant – he's like Arnie Palmer after Arnie Palmer lost his game.
I don't think there'll ever probably be another Tiger, or maybe not in a generation. It's going to take a long time. As far as being that dominant, there'll be certainly popular players because they're all going to come and go as it is. And I agree that Jordan is that guy. He's the face of golf. He's the one that everybody, and Justin Thomas even jokes, he's the golden child. That's what they all call him because everybody knows it, even if you're his friend or you're on tour with him, that the golf world really comes right towards the bright light goes right on Jordan Spieth. But as far as the golf domination of Tiger, that's a once in 100 years kind of thing, right? I mean, as far as a guy who, what do you go 7 years without missing a cut? Jordan does go 7 weeks. You know, it's not even close, right? As far as that, Tiger was a whole otherworldly kind of thing. But I think my point is that I love golf because there will be another Tony Finau. There'll be another whoever that comes and you're not really sure who they are. I remember having breakfast with Tony Finau when I was, I think, with you at one of the tournaments when you were working with Scott Pinkney a few years ago. And we're having breakfast. And I wasn't sure who Tony Finau, he hadn't won anything. And I think you filled me in with who he was and where he came from and that they all kind of were friends with Rory back when they were teenagers and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't know. Now Tony Finau, I'm not saying he's a household name, but I'll guarantee you, and my wife only knows so much about golf. If I said Tony Finau, she'd say, oh, yeah, I know who that guy is. She wouldn't have said that 5-6 years ago. So that's what I'm saying. I like that elevation. I like that guys can turn themselves.
Okay, so let's get back before you guys cut me off here. Let's get back to the tournament this week. Okay, you got probably one of the best early leaderboards of all the tournaments that have been played this year. You got you got Jason Day up there. He's tied for first.
You guys got
Xander Schauffele's up there. John Rahm's up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure.
It's an elevated and designated event. Have to play it.
All the big guys are there.
They have to play it. Okay. Yeah. They have to.
Yeah, the cream rise to the top. They didn't have to pay Pebble, and none of them did. Few of them did.
Yeah.
So that's why you saw the leaderboard that you saw there. Now you see these guys, and they're all there because – you know, they're all...
They have to.
Well, there's a certain rule there, right? I don't know what that is. They have to play some of them, Frank? They don't have to play all of them, do they?
I believe they play all the designated or elevated or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
And by the way, what's happening with the... I'm going to totally flip it here. What's happening with the World WGC events? Are they going away? Is that what we're hearing? Because I'm hearing that the Austin tournament may not be there anymore. Yeah, that Austin might just be the last
match
year
play.
For Austin.
It's going to be the last match play, Dell match play,
and
whatever.
And there's some talk that the WGC might not be those events. I don't know what they're going to do with them instead, but because there's talk that Houston might want to take Austin's, you know, the WGC event in Austin's spot on the tour. I guess it's just an evolution. I mean, maybe it has, I'm not reading anything into it, but maybe there's just a
it's the live golf fallout.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I love those. All right, Steve, before we go, you want to talk a little Super Bowl? You got some predictions here? Ooh. Who's the best
crash
coach team?
Eagles crash.
I know you're all into coaching.
Kansas City,
you know, I mean, I want to see a great game. I want to see a high-scoring game. I tell you what, those Philadelphia Eagles look tough. They look tough. I love to see.
Like the criminals
I love
they
to
are.
See the heroics. I love to see the heroics of Mahomes.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Steve dropped out.
Steve comes
Steve.
And goes.
Steve.
But I just want to see a good game. Back.
Yeah, I just want to see a good game, too. You dropped out, but Mahomes, and we said it earlier.
Tim keeps putting me on mute. I think
he does. I think Tim does. Tim's
that
way.
Big red button right here. I just keep pushing.
Hey, Shank, quit pressing the mute button. Hey, Hunt, this morning on Fox, dropped a bombshell by accident. To Brian
Clark
Kilmeade,
Hunt, the owner of
Clark
the Chiefs.
Hunt. Yeah, I'm sorry, Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs. When they said, he said, I don't think Mahomes is not 100%. And everybody went, what? And they said, well, is he 90? Is he 80? Is he 70? And of course, Hunt's wife jumped in and said, he just won MVP. He's MVP, okay? That's good enough.
Yeah.
But if he's not 100%, Philadelphia is going to be all over him. And
but he also
backfield.
Wasn't 100% through the playoffs.
Oh, they will. You know? You're right.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been 100% since he had that ankle injury. Remember, he almost
ankle sprain,
got taken
yeah.
out of the game, and he kind of demanded he went back into the game. So it was a Jacksonville game, right? And
yeah,
so
it was.
But then again, you know, Jalen Hurts had that bad shoulder and missed the last three games of the season before he came back, too. So I think at this stage of the game, 100% is almost impossible for these guys after 17 weeks of getting the crap beat out of you.
Where did Jalen graduate from? Alabama?
What are you talking about?
Jalen Hurts graduated from Alabama, didn't he? Or was it Tullahoma? Or Tullahoma?
Jesus.
Well, when he got pulled from that game, he decided, okay, I'm going to Oklahoma then. The heck with
but
this.
But you know
thing.
What? But I do give him this, and I'm not an Eagles fan at all, but I do give him a lot of credit that when that happened, he actually sat for a year, if you remember, as a backup to Tua, right? And was okay. And he was thinking about going to Maryland or some other school, like to transfer. And actually Saban told him, I think the best place for you is Oklahoma because Lincoln Riley will do the best job of getting you ready for the pros. And that's why he transferred to Oklahoma. He was seriously looking at going to Maryland and I think one other school, Arizona State or something like that, to get away from Alabama.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Saban counseled him on that.
Yeah, Saban said the best place for you to go is.
Wow.
And he did. And he almost, runner up for the Heisman and blah, blah, blah. And now here we see it. Two Texans, by the way, Frank, at quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. Hurts. By the way, Keith Mitchell went to Baylor in Chattanooga, which is a very, very fine private school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then Georgia, right?
Is that right?
I like Keith Mitchell. Okay, you guys are dogging Keith. I like Keith. I have a lot of sweaters too. I've got plenty of sweaters, man. No, I don't need those.
Yeah.
No, but I like Keith Mitchell. I think he's got a pretty good game. You don't think Keith Mitchell has a solid game, Steve?
He's all right. He's all right. Yeah, he's made the PGA Tour. He's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, he's got to be pretty good. Yeah,
he's got that. He's got that air about him, though. He's got a little Brooks Koepka arrogance.
He does. Well, that's
it's not really very attractive to me.
Yeah, he's not from the poor side of the tracks. Let's just put it that way. And he carries that, and probably should try to temper that some. I would think.
Yeah. You don't want to wear the cashmere on your sleeve, right, Frank?
No. Don't want to pull your money clip out and show your gold card or your platinum card or black card, whatever, right?
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Don't need doing that.
Yeah, okay, so Koepka does have a little air about him. There's no doubt about that.
Frank, Super Bowl pick.
Oh, me? Kansas City.
Before we go back. Kansas City?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Steve, who are you going to pick? I know you want a good game.
I want a good game. I just, if I had to put $100 on it, I'd put it on. If it was even, I'd put it on Philadelphia.
Okay, so we got 100 on Philly, 100 on Kansas City. Tim?
You know what? It's my heart and my head on these because I cannot stand Philadelphia. but I do know that they're a good team, so I'm not going to be denying and say, they're terrible. But I got to go with Kansas City. I got to go. I think the better quarterback is definitely Mahomes, and I think the better quarterback oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes can dictate this game. And
Mahomes is certainly lucky a lot.
He's just a magician. I just think Mahomes is just, he finds way, he throws it between his legs. He's like Pete Maravich. On a Pete football Maravich. Field. I don't know how he gets a pass away, but he throws it over his head and left-handed, right-handed. I mean, he's just, so I hope it comes down to a final drive, right? That's what we all hope
do
for.
Too.
The final
yeah.
end of the game yeah. and somebody gets the ball down by four or something with a minute to go. I think it would be amazing.
When so, you inhale half the hot dog and die right there on the floor.
I'll go with the Chiefs.
CPR.
All right. Well,
Heimlich
Steve,
maneuver.
We appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We appreciate all your hot opinions.
Thanks, we'll Steve. We appreciate it.
We'll have you on again in about 12 months, okay? So just cool down for a while.
Sounds good.
Wear out that mute button, Tim.
Final thoughts, Steve. Tony Finau. That's all I'm going to say. Tony Finau. Okay. Tony
Finau. God.
I love Tony Finau.
I do, too.
I just don't think he's going to win a major.
Oh, okay. I got $100 he'll win a major.
Ooh, there's a bet, Steve. You like that? No, see? There's your $100, Steve. You're going to put $100? No, Steve.
I've worked so hard for my money, I can't gamble.
Well, I'm borrowing it from Tim. Don't worry.
Okay.
You can borrow it from Tim, too.
Nobody's gonna, Steve, just say yes. Nobody's going to remember this anyway.
No.
Greg, remember you said that?
I made a bet on SiriusXM Radio, and it was never forgotten. I never got paid on it.
You lost that bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, buddy.
All right,
take
guys.
Care.
Thanks
all right.
a lot.
We all right, pal.
It.
Thanks, Steve. See
you. Steve Johnson, thank any golf. Oh, man.
He wasn't his normal feisty self today.
He wasn't quite as feisty, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Kind of
mellowed
out there a little bit.
All right, well, get us out of here, man. I got to go. Yeah. I got a tea time. Okay.
You got things to do.
I got things places to do, go. Places to go, people to meet.
All right. Money to take.
Money to
Playing
take.
PXGs. Are PXGs good, Frank? Should
the
people
PXGs
check into that?
Are the best. And you know what's best about the PXGs? They play really well at Club Core. On any Ooh. Invited club, they play fabulous. And we love invited clubs.
.com, the new club.
Yep.
The new name for Club Corp, Invited. Check them out too, Invited. Get a membership, check them out, and you get all privileges all over the country. It's an amazing situation.
Check out PXG's golf balls too.
We are done. Thank you to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.